May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The healing miracles of Jesus can be read and understood on many different levels, and each time we read them, there are new things to discover. The two things that strike me reading the Gospel from Mark 7 this evening are not the same as they were on my previous reading. The first is the seeming confidence of those who brought the man for healing. They apparently had no doubt that if Jesus laid his hand on the man, he would be healed. And the second is their response. Despite their seeming initial confidence, they were astonished. But not just astonished in the ordinary way, but astonished beyond measure. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So despite their confident belief that he could, the fact that he did came as a great surprise to them. We do not know this, but it may well be that they were not, in fact, expecting much, and that their seeming confidence sprang from desperate hope rather than certainty. After all, they did have to beseech Jesus to lay his hand on the man. This was perhaps their last chance to help the man, and if this failed, they had no other options. So in this context, their astonishment is not strange at all. And the context is probably critical. In Jesus' time, there was not much hope for the dumb, the deaf, or the blind. And often, these and other afflictions were seen as punishment for past sin, either the sufferer's sin or that of his parents. Thomas Hobbes, many centuries later, described life as generally solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. And that's probably pretty much how it was in the time of Jesus. Even at the height of the power of the Roman Empire, every woman of childbearing age had to be pregnant 8 times just to maintain the numbers of the population, because so many people died so young. And remember Job, who once had so much and then at the height of his success was reduced to illness, want and loss. His friends assumed that all his sufferings were down to his sinfulness, even though he declared to them and to God that he had done nothing wrong to deserve his misfortunes. Given the difficulties of life in those times, multiple misfortunes were likely for anyone. Job, though, as we know, was confident that he would be vindicated, and indeed he was, though not perhaps as he expected. But going back to the deaf mute in Mark's Gospel, not only was he cured, but in his healing, he became a symbol of the power and the presence of Jesus to put things right. He has done all things well. He has put things right. And he was a symbol, too, that the laws alone did not bring healing and peace. It was the presence of Jesus and the abundance of his mercy which brought about the healing and the peace, and brought the sufferer from despair to new life. The letter to the Corinthians, which we also heard this evening, highlights this difference that Christ makes by renewing our relationship with God. We are God's children, justified by faith and empowered by the Spirit who gives life. So even in a world of death and difficulty, Jesus does all things well. and in the world that we inhabit, following his resurrection, waiting for his coming again, dealing with misery and death by greed, violence, ignorance, terrorism, and natural disasters, the Spirit still brings new life, hope, healing, and peace. So may God grant that this is true for us, now and forever. Amen.